Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here this morning. If I have not met you before, my name is Aaron. I would love to meet you, hear your name, and maybe even how you made your way to the campus, if this is your first time or first couple of times here. One thing I do want to draw your attention to, obviously lots of things going on here at the campus, but coming up here in the fall, I just want to get this on your calendar. If you are looking to kind of connect with us, if you've been considering making Grace Church your home, if you've been rolling with us here for a few weeks or months, Discovery is coming up on August 30th. So we'll have that right after the second service, right after the one you're in now. We'll have lunch for you. We'll watch the kids for you if you need that. But if you're looking to kind of learn what makes us tick, why we exist, maybe the story of how we got here, we would love to have you join us for that so that we can talk a little bit. I'll be leading that. Would love to get to know you, introduce you to some people here at the campus, and get you connected to really what's going on in the heartbeat of Grace Church here. So if you're interested in that, it's kind of the best way to start things out, getting connected with us. It leads to everything else. So make sure you put that date on your calendar, August 30th. Just wanted to get that in front of you before your fall kind of busies up here as we get back into things. The other thing that's going to be starting around that time in September is our foundations courses. So that's kind of all the rest of the courses that we would offer, our basic beliefs, and it is our pathway to membership too, if you're looking to become a member of Grace Church and kind of be all the way in on that. So all that's going to come up in the fall. You'll have an opportunity to do that beginning to end. If you missed one the last time we did it, you can catch up on that as well, but would love to connect you in that way. If there's anything else we can do for you to get you connected, we would love to know about that. And you can write in on a card, you can visit the weekly, or even stop by the desk out here in the lobby, and we can get you all the information you might need for it. That being said, last week we started a brand new series talking about being ambassadors for Christ. If you missed any of that or any of our last series, you can go to our YouTube page. We have all of that for you on there, which is really fun, and you can catch up. If you weren't here last week, no problem. We can get you caught up, and we'll continue here in this series. So last week we began to talk about the idea if we're going to carry the message of Christ as ambassadors of Christ. We started out in 2 Corinthians, and we looked at a verse there where it talks about being ambassadors for Christ. We talked about what that looks like, what it means to carry the message of Jesus, and we're going to continue that here this morning. And I'm going to bring this verse back up for us. If you want to turn there in your Bible, you can. If you don't have a Bible in front of you in the seats there, there's Bibles. We'd love for you to take one of those home if you don't have your own copy so that you can read God's Word for yourself. And if you have your Bible, you can use, or if you have your phone, you can use the YouVersion app as well and catch up with us that way. And of course, it'll be on the screen here as well. But 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is what we used last week, kind of kick us off. It says this: so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And we kind of went off of this here, talking about the first half of this verse, where we said this is when we become a follower of Jesus, we're actually representing him. We talked about what an ambassador is, how they carry a message. And what I wanted to do was really look at the second half of this verse today, because here's what it says. It says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the message that the ambassadors are carrying, right? They're making a plea to someone. Another version would say, be reconciled to God, right? Come back to God in that way. And that is what we're asking people to do. And here's why it's important, I believe, for us to talk about that second part of this today. I don't know if you've ever had a door-to-door salesman, or maybe you've had a sales pitch, or you've gone to buy something. Maybe you've gone to Lowe's and like you're buying flooring, and you're interacting with someone in some sort of sales job. I don't know if you've ever interacted with someone who really doesn't believe in what they're selling. Have you ever had that before? And you start to like second guess yourself a little bit. You're like, I don't even know if you like this. Like, I don't know if you believe that. They're like, yeah, I mean, it is kind of expensive, but you know, it is available. You're like, yeah, it is. I was thinking that too. And now I don't want to buy it. And you've ever interacted with someone who doesn't really have a lot of confidence in the thing that they're giving to people. Or if you've been to a restaurant and they're like, I don't really eat any of the food here. You're like, check, please. They're like, you didn't order anything. I know, I'm just going to go. Right? You're like, that's not a great feeling. Right? And here's why this is so important for us to, what I want us to walk into today. If we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, if we're followers of Jesus, we have to be deeply changed by this message, right? The coming back to God, the being reconciled to Christ. Before we can carry this in a way that's helpful, we have to be deeply transformed. If we don't believe it, if we don't understand it, if we're not deeply changed by it, we are not going to be able to carry it to people in the world that need it most. at the very least, they're going to have an experience that's not that great. And so today, what I want to do is just to walk through what does it mean to be reconciled to Christ. And here's what I want you to know going up front. Some of you are going to be like, I've heard this before. You're just going to walk us through the gospel. I am. And here's what I need you to know, whether you've heard it for the first time today. Maybe it's going to be more clear today than it's ever been. Maybe you've never had someone present it clearly to you. It's for you. If you're a person who's grown up in church or you're very familiar with the gospel, you've heard it 100 times, I believe it's for you too. And here's why. Because I think it will cause us to look at things in a different way. Here's an example. Not only when we carry a message do we need to understand it, we have to be able to tell people how it has affected us. The best sales pitches I've ever heard are the people who are like, this revolutionized the way that I did dishes, or this revolutioned the way I fertilized my lawn. Like, they really believe the thing. And they'll use words like revolutionize over and over again. Like, revolution. It's like Billy Mays here. Anybody remember Billy Mays on TV? That was a fun time to be alive, right? So all these things, I'm like, Billy Mays sold all kinds of stuff, but he believed it. He believed in all of his Billy Mays trademark products. Here's why I know this is true, because at times, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to pay attention to it, because here's what I realized. In my life, even though I believed the message, I was transformed by the message, I went in to be an ambassador, to take the message to others, and I realized pretty quickly that I had never thought about how to share it with someone. I was like, I know it, I believe it, but I've never shared it. I'm going to share with you one of my biggest failures. Okay, you ready for this? You're like, there's a long list, but we're just going to go with this one today. There was a time in my life where I started really paying attention to the person of Jesus, my spiritual life. And I got the burden of this message to go and be an ambassador. I'm like, I need to tell people about this. And I remember coming home from college, was dating my wife still at the time, and we were not engaged yet. We were getting close up. We had a friend couple who had already been married. They were not followers of Jesus. We were getting together for a bonfire, just hanging out as college kids would do in the summer, and I began to get the burden. I'm like, I need to tell these two about Jesus. Like, I've never done that, and I was like, Lord, would you give me an opportunity? And this came up, and I remember getting in this moment. I'm like, this is happening. I'm going to get to tell him about Jesus, and I had a moment where I realized, what do I say? There's so many things I could say. There's a whole Bible full of stuff. What could I say? And I'm like, well, I know that I believe it. And I'm like, okay, where do I go? And I'm going to be honest with you. I panicked, okay? I panicked. And nothing good comes from panic, right? You know this well if you're a person who panics, or you're married to a person who panics, or you have a person in your family who panics, and you're like, that was all the wrong decisions all at one time, very quickly in succession. That went off the rails. This is what happened to me, okay? I panicked. And what I did was I decided in my mind, in my panic-stricken moment, that the best thing to do would just be to tell him the entire story of the Bible. Guys, this poor guy, all right? I was like, well, in the beginning, there's like Adam and Eve, and I guess I can't spend too long on this. There's a whole lot to get to. There's like a snake and a thing and an apple, and it all went. And then there's like Noah's Ark, and I'm ADHD, so nothing's linear. I'm just all over the place, and I'm panicking. And so this is happening, and here's what I realized. I locked this guy into a conversation. Now, he was the kind friend. He did not disregard me. He didn't put me off forever. I think he was confused, for sure. And I think I realized I did a bad job of this. And what I realized is I deeply understand and believe the message of Christ. I've never taken it in and realized, how would I tell someone about this? And in that moment, I said, well, I don't really want to have that feeling again. Like, I would like to be better prepared. And I realized that it's important for me to understand this in a way where I could be effective at what God is asking me to share with others. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, as I really just share the gospel today, I would ask you to consider, if you're carrying this message, have you ever thought about how to carry it to someone else? If you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to share this with you today because I believe it's the most important message I could ever share, and it has deeply transformed my life. Enough for me to want to tell people about it every single weekend for as long as God will allow me to live. That's where we are. So here's the very simple part of it. As we think about the message that we're carrying, we don't want to carry the wrong message. Here's the beginning of it, is we have to deeply understand that God made us and he loves us. And you might be familiar with this, but as we think about being God's ambassadors, what you need to know is that God chose you. When Christ came into our lives, he wants that for everyone. Right, he is calling everyone to be saved. This gift is available to everyone. So no matter where you are today, whether you're walking in here and you're like, Aaron, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the decisions I've made. You don't know the evil I've committed. You don't know the ways that I told God I would do this and I did this. You don't know the ways I've rejected God. You need to know this, no matter where we are, what Jesus wants is to have relationship with you because he created you and he loves you. That's where we are. And there is, we're going to walk through the whole thing here, but at the beginning, you need to know that God desires that. He desires you and relationship with you. So don't rule yourself out. Don't say, Aaron, I've done too much wrong. Right? We have to deeply understand this. As a follower of Jesus, it's how we don't live in shame and guilt. We remember that God chose us to do this. Here's what the Bible would say about this in 2 Peter. I love this. It says this in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. Right? People might say, well, why hasn't God come back? What's he doing up there? Is it just because he said it was going to be this long, and so now he's just holding up his end of the bargain? Here's why. It says it in the second part of the verse. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. This is an incredible verse because what we realize is the reason that we're still on this earth, the reason that God just didn't say, all right, you're with me now, there you go, remove you, is because he's leaving us here to be ambassadors to others. And the reason why he hasn't just ended things is because he's being patient for you, because he loves you, desires relationship with you. Destroyed and repent, those can be scary. Like, I've seen that on a sign before, like the repent or perish, Aaron. I don't totally know what to do with that. Let me just tell you here what the reality for us that we're going to talk about in a minute here is that I'm already moving away from God before I know him. All of us were there, right? We're moving towards that. What repentance means is to literally turn away. And so Christ's desire and his love for you because he made you is he doesn't want you to continue that direction into eternity. His desire is that you would turn to him and move the direction of your eternity towards him. And he's being patient for this. He loves us, and he's waiting for us. Here's the next thing that we begin to deeply understand is this, is that sin is what has separated us from God. We feel this. We walk around with this. It is when you watch a little bit of news, when you have a little bit of relationship with people, we feel the sin that has separated us from God. And ultimately what happens is this, is as we deal with sin, as we live in it, what we start to see is that this is the reality of the world that we're in. The reality is that I am separated from God, and we feel this, and sometimes we feel like God is creating distance from us. In reality, what's happening is sin has already separated us in relationship, but oftentimes Satan will use that for us to say, God doesn't want me. God wants to be far from me. He's far from me until I figure out my life. In reality, what's actually happened is that it has just made us not able to be in relationship with God. That's what sin did. We feel the effects of it. We feel far from God. And here's what we begin to realize is this affects every area of our life. It's what makes life feel impossible. It's what makes relationships feel impossible. It's what makes us feel insecure. It's what makes us feel worthless. It's what makes us feel inadequate. It's what makes us feel pain and suffering here on this earth. All of that is sin that has separated us from God. Here's what the Bible would say that remains true for all of us, is that Romans 3:23 says this, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's where we are. I have sinned. You have sinned. It does not take long for us to realize that sin is affecting our lives. And here's what sin is in more simple terms. Sin is rebellion against God. That might seem like a strong word, but what it ends up playing out as this is, I'm not trusting that God has my best interests in mind. What happens is I am in my own way rejecting God in my life. That's what sin is. And what begins to happen is I make myself or something else in my life my God. Trusting in myself, trusting in money, trusting in this relationship, whatever it is. And what this is all sin, it's all in the category. It doesn't mean that you have more and I have less and all this stuff. It's just the reality. How it plays out is unique for every one of us, but the broad brush of it is that we are making something else our God, and in that we reject God from our lives, and it separates us from him. When we realize this and we sit in this, we realize, man, I can't do this on my own. There was a point in my life where I realized that what I was doing, I thought I was just maintaining control of my life. I'm just going to do this here. I'm going to lie so I can keep this up here. And I'm going to try to sell this, paint this in a better light to give me this opportunity. And it wasn't until later when Jesus revealed it to me and I was paying attention to it. That was scary. All right. Seems like it's going to be a thing. I'm just going to unclip that and clip it and hope it goes away. All right. Let me see if this microphone will work. Or maybe it'll stop when I pick this up. Here's what I realized was happening in my life. What I realized that was happening in my life, I thought I was just in control. What happened was, in sin, I was my own God. And I wasn't just making life work. What I was doing was delaying consequences. I'm delaying the sin. That it's all going to come back to bite me, because there came a point in my life with Christ where I had to confess that. I had to own up to it. I had to take responsibility for my choices, right? I was tossing it down the road, but sin is where we are. So there's this deep understanding and reality of what's happening in our lives when we play out the story of the gospel and the message here. Here's where the good news begins for us, is that Jesus became our sacrifice. Jesus became our sacrifice. In the person of Jesus, we have to deeply understand this, not just know it, we have to deeply understand this. The way that God pursued us, the way that he loved us, is by saying, I will go to great lengths to have relationship with the people I love. That played out in the person of Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who became the sacrifice for our sins. Here's what the Bible would say and describe this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, right after the verse we're using here. It says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is the only way. If we're going to be reconciled to God, if we're going to be in relationship with him again, it has to be through the person of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. The way that we deeply understand it is this. This was done so that we can have relationship with God. Jesus willingly took our sin upon the cross. The way of deeply understanding this, even as a follower of Jesus, the richness of understanding this, is that we take a step back and realize that when Jesus willingly walked to the cross, that he knew every sin that exists in our lives. He knew very well what he was doing. He knew that he was taking the sin of the world. There wasn't a moment where he's like, maybe this one, maybe that person, maybe not. And Jesus said, this is going to be available to everyone. All of the sin paid for at once. He knew every thought we'd ever have, every evil we'd ever commit, every drug we'd ever use, every way we'd ever speak to someone, every secret we'd ever keep. And he decided that we were worth it. And he wanted to have relationship with us. And he dived us in. In simple terms, Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. That's what happened. He paid a debt that he did not owe. There is not much a comparable feeling to that when someone pays a debt that they don't owe, that the one that you could never come up with. To have that wiped out, to have that taken off the table, to have that out of your mind, not living under the debt of something. See, Jesus became our sacrifice here. And as we round the corner here and we start to understand this, what happens is it's by faith that we receive this gift and turn from our old life. Here's why it's important it's in this order. If you flip that and we turn from our old life and then we receive it by faith, what happens is that we become, we didn't have a debt wiped out, we earned more debt. Here's what the Bible would say actually happened. When Jesus died on the cross for us, when this happened, and how we are saved, how this works out in our lives is this, says God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Pay attention to this next part. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it. This is incredible news. For one, because I don't know if you've ever had a debt wiped out that you still kind of owed. You're like, you're just financing it. It still exists. You are still a slave to that thing. You owe that. They're coming for it. It doesn't matter if it's 0%, 5%, they're coming for it, even if they paid it in advance. The difference is Jesus says, I'm just going to wipe it out. Here's what this causes to, when we deeply understand what happened here, when we believe what God is giving us, salvation, it's not a reward. It's a free gift. A debt we couldn't pay is wiped out. We couldn't earn it. We don't have to earn it. I love describing it this way because I think it just helps us understand what's actually happening here. I don't know if you've ever been gifted something before. Hopefully you've had a gift at some point in your life. If you haven't, talk to me. I'll give you one. And if you receive a gift, if I buy you something, you think of your favorite thing, like an iPhone or whatever it is, and I'm like, here's this gift for you. I paid for it. It's clear. It's yours. When does that thing become yours? Is it just because I said you could have it? It was a gift? When it actually becomes ours is when I take possession of that thing. When I take that out of your hands. If you're like, thanks, and you walk away, it's still in my possession. And I'm like, hey, pick that up next time you're over or something, right? Or I'll send it back, right? You have to receive that thing. You've received grandma's socks. You've received gifts you like and don't like, but it doesn't really change. It's not yours until you take it. See, what's happening here is when it's a gift, the thing that actually happens is there is a response due here from us. That gift has to be accepted. It's not a reward. Jesus is not, he's not potty training toddler and he's like, you can have a piece of candy if you go on the, it's not happening. Jesus isn't training us to do something. What Jesus is doing is offering you a gift that is for you. It doesn't belong to anyone else. That one's for you, and it's yours to take, yours to own, yours to have. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more and give you more of it, or to love you less and give you less of it. Your job and my job is to respond to what Jesus has done for us, what he's already done. And here's what actually happens when we accept this gift. It's God in his mercy that saved us, and in his grace that he loves us. So God in his mercy not giving us what we do deserve, which is the punishment, right? The destruction, the justice, because he is a God above all. He is perfect. He can't be in the presence and he cannot be in relationship with things that are not at that standard. So in his mercy, he saved us and sent his son Jesus. And it's in his grace giving us what we don't deserve that he lives and loves us the rest of our lives if we accept this gift of salvation. That means you would be correct in saying, God, I don't deserve this. God, I have so much sin and shame and guilt and embarrassment. I've done all these things. And what God is saying is like, yeah, you're right. You don't deserve it. But I'm giving it to you anyways. And when we talk about living life with Jesus, when we talk about being in relationship, when we accept the love of Christ, what you and I begin to live in for the rest of our life is just the unmerited, unending grace of Jesus. But it's a gift that has to be accepted. So here's where I would begin to kind of land this for us, and here's what I actually want you to think about this weekend. Because some of you are sitting here like I would at some points in my life and you're like, heard it before, next. Yeah, I know it. Here's what I would say. Here's what deeply convicted me this week is I sat with this and just dwelled in the richness of the gospel and what Jesus has actually done for me. Here's what I learned and here's what I've learned over my life. Being familiar with the gospel is not the same as being formed by it. Being familiar with the gospel, it's not the same. What Jesus is asking is, will you be formed by the truth of the gospel? I grew up in church. I have heard the gospel more times than I could count. It was not until I was in college that I looked at my life in a little bit of shambles and uncertainty, and I said, I don't know what to do. I know all the God stuff. I've done the classes. I've read the Bible. I've memorized. I don't know what to do. And I had a realization, conviction through the Holy Spirit that what I was familiar with the gospel story and the truth. What I had none of was formation in my life through the grace of Jesus. See, when you enter into relationship with Jesus, it is not about knowing about God, it is about knowing him, and those are different things. It's why anyone, and why we would encourage it, can pick up God's word and find, it's only on the screen because I wrote it there today. It's already in God's word. You could find it on your own. You just happen to be sitting here today. You don't need me to tell you the gospel. You could find it. Me telling it to you, you hearing it and saying, I hear you, I wrote it down, is not what we're after. Christ is after your heart. And he's saying, will you take this truth and will you let me form the rest of your life through it? When we carry the message of the gospel to people, we're not simply saying, here's an invitation to the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of the Bible. If you know these verses, you can be saved. What we're saying is, will you let your life be transformed by it? And here's what I was missing in my story at the beginning. Here's where I didn't go. I had no formation in my life, or it was very small, and I didn't talk about that. I talked about information. I got him really familiar with all the Bible stories. I probably confused him, all that stuff. What I actually should have done was thought to myself, how has this formed my life? How has this transformed me? How has this changed the way that I live? And I'll tell you, if you want to go down this road of asking how have I been formed by the gospel, buckle up. I did it this week, and I'm like, holy smokes, we've got some work to do. I talk about this in a different way than I'm living. I'm like, I was convicted considering this week. And I want you, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want you to write this down. If you're not, I want you to write it down too. But first, when we're faced with this, we have to be honest with ourselves. Here's what I would ask you to just be honest with yourself. Whether you've been in church forever or not, we have a response to make to the message of Jesus. And if we're going to be effective ambassadors, we have to carry the right message. And it's not just a message of information. So if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what I learned this week that I'd love for you to consider too. Ask yourself how you're being formed by it, because here's the danger. If we don't keep this close to the message that we just heard today, what happens is we can be tempted to create a version of the gospel that allows us to live with a public face of Christianity and it never touching our private life. That is who I was for many years of my life. Publicly, great Jesus follower, privately untouched. Because I had made a deal with myself, or I had justified the fact that I had all the information and all the right stuff, and I accepted Christ, and I didn't need to do anything else. Boy, was I missing out. Boy, was I wrong. And boy, was it hard to explain to people when I talked to them about the gospel how my life had barely changed at all, except for I thought I had to try harder and earn something. It's not what Jesus is after. We don't want to have a version like I had that we can so often fall where I love God, but I don't love the people that he loves, which is everyone. Doesn't mean I agree with them. Doesn't mean that I don't believe what's in the Bible, but I am an ambassador. God is sending me to them, and I better feel the weight of that. I have a responsibility there to work with Christ on that. What I realized in this work in my life, and what you can realize as a follower of Jesus, is this is not something that ever ends. When we're talking about being formed by this message, what happens is I am asking God to change every aspect of my life, every day, forever. That means that I'm allowed to change my mind because the Lord convicts me. I'm allowed to disappoint some people in my life because I realized I was living in a wrong way. I'm allowed to apologize because I misrepresented Christ in the way I reacted. See, as a follower of Jesus, it's every day. And if you do this, it will create movement in your life. The Lord's going to convict you. The Lord's going to change you. He's going to embolden you to take this to other people. He is going to prepare you for the thing that he asked you. So it'll create movement. And if you haven't fully accepted the message in this way, you haven't been baptized, like let the Lord move you. You're never too old for it. You've never followed Jesus too long for it. It is the continual realization of what I need, which is the message of the gospel as a follower of Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I would say to you as you hear this message. If you've just heard it for the first time ever, or you've just heard it in a way that was clear for the first time and you're like, I've heard this before, And I don't know that they, I think they might have left that part out about the sin stuff. Or I think I might not have been clear on what it means to actually accept a gift of Christ. Like, I believe in God, but I don't know that I, like, accepted this message. Here's what I would say to you. First of all, it does not matter where you are right now. If you realize you're like, Aaron, I've opened up the Bible because I've been here for a minute and I noticed that my life, I probably have to make some changes if I do. All that's going to come together. The Lord's going to, it would be our privilege to walk with you and your life beginning to change. The first step for you is to say, I'm in on it. For the first time, I'm fully in on it. If you've never fully accepted this message, if you don't have a moment that you can remember where you said yes to receive the gift of Christ, don't delay that. Don't worry about what it means for your life, because any part of trusting Jesus is believing that anything that he's going to have for you is better than what you're currently doing. And he's going to walk you out of any situation that you're in that you're like, Aaron, this could never change. I don't think it can change. Like, Jesus can change this. You might have to just say, for the first time, I'm going to accept this fully because I understand it. I'm going to take this for the first time. I'm going to say, I'm not going to try to earn anything. I just want to turn towards Christ with my life. Here's the big thing: is it doesn't really matter where you are in life or what you've done or if you feel like you're down in the dumps. Turning around is turning around. You're in the same spot. You're headed a different direction. My plea to you is just don't head further off course because you think you're too far. Turn around. Look to the person of Jesus and say, I accept this gift and I want you to change my life, whatever that means. There's a humility in that and a desperation there, but what I want you to do is to take hold of this message if you never have. If people have misrepresented it to you, if churches have, if pastors have, it doesn't really matter to me. I want you to be formed by the person of Jesus in your life. Be my highest desire for you. To be forgiven, to accept the forgiveness that Jesus is openly holding for you, and to let it begin to change you, to start to live life with Christ. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're in, whatever situation, the Lord will enter into that with you. And trust me when I say that it is better to do it with him than it is to do it alone. Some of it's going to hurt. Some of it's going to be difficult. But the Lord is going to be with you in that. And you don't have to fight anymore. You have the power of Christ with you. So wherever you're at, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're not, if you're living in sin today and you're like, I was willfully doing this yesterday, the gift is there. Jesus doesn't retract it. It's up to you and I to respond. It's the only thing that can keep you from Christ is yourself. The only thing that kept me from Jesus for a long time in my life was me. Because I couldn't humble myself. I couldn't bear to say, I don't have control of my life. I don't know the best way. It doesn't matter how good my plan is. I can't do it. I couldn't bear to bring myself to say, how are we going to address this sin? Because I felt like everybody at church was perfect and they'd kick me out if they knew the sin I was dealing with. That's what I thought. So I'm like, I got to hide that. I could keep a secret. Really good secret keeper. It burdened me. When I say it doesn't matter where you are, I really mean that Christ wants to meet you there. And so my plea to you today would be to not leave this room without letting this message change you in some way today. Whether it's the first time you've ever received it, or if you're like, man, I need to just dwell in this. And ask, am I being formed by it or have I just been familiar for years? What I want you to do is and the band's going to come up. They're going to give us a song to kind of just take this next song, to just hear it, to be still, to talk to the Lord. There's no amount of words I could say to compel you towards something. You have to come to Christ. You have to willingly go to him and accept that gift. We would love to know about it. If you make a decision today or you need prayer in something or you're like, Aaron, I'm in on it, but I need help, write a question in. We will pray for you this week. Do not leave today without telling someone if you decide to follow Jesus. If you go home and you think about it this week, don't leave that untold, because you're going to need people. You're going to need people who can go with you, who can tell you you're not crazy, who can say, yep, Jesus can definitely forgive that sin, and it would be our privilege to do that. It's why we exist, is to carry this message. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you might know people in your life right now, and you're like, I need to craft how I'm going to carry this message. I need to think about it. It should create movement in our life wherever we are if we can hone in on this. What I want to do is pray for us. We'll have a song here to talk to the Lord about it. See what he wants you to do. Be honest with him. Talk to him for the first time in a while. Just in your heart, between you and the Lord, tell him where you're at. If you need to invite him into your life, do that. Do that today. Let me pray. Lord, we're grateful. Lord, that this message is true. We're grateful, Lord, that this message is the one that we get to carry into the world. Not one of God versus the people, not one of us versus them, but Lord, of a God who deeply loves us because you made us and you know us. A God who is saddened by the sin that has separated us from him, that hangs us up, that troubles us deeply, Lord, that makes us feel far from you. We are grateful that this message brings us a way to have relationship with you. God, you know where every person in this room is with you in their heart. You know their hangups, Lord. You know why they won't come to you, why they haven't, why they've left. Lord, you know that. And still your plea is, come back to me. So Lord, if there's people who need to accept this gift for the very first time, would you give them the courage to say yes to that? Would you make it just a little less foggy of where that's going to head? Lord, if there's those of us who have known you for a long time, would you surface in us? Would you search our hearts and our souls and bring out the things that you want to change? God, would you sharpen our message that we're carrying so that we can be in step with you as we bring your kingdom to this earth now? God, as we make as many people aware of your love for them as we can, would you help us to do that? God, if there's some of us today that realize that we've just been familiar with you for a long time and we called it following Jesus, if we need to fully accept this message in a clear way as your word presents it, would you give them the courage to do that, Lord? Thank you for being with us. Would you work in our hearts and take us wherever it is you want us to go today? We love you.